Okay, William. Hey, good evening. All right, here we have chapter three of Uncle Key's Cafe, Strong Bones and Squeaky Toy to the Rescue. So, for this chapter, we're going to talk a lot about Squeaky and Strong Bones and maybe get into trolls because, after all, they are part of the story. But when I left you in chapter two, if you remember, Gustave Panier had climbed a tree and had called a Marvel Raptrack and said, "Help, help!" And Marvel Raptrack had called Strong Bones and said, "Strong Bones, get him out of there." Strong Bones said, "Okay, Taurus, for crying out loud." And he took off to go to Mr. Tutty's store to see if he could borrow his friend Tuggy's motorbike. And when Mr. Marvel Raptrack had heard that news, he called Gustave Panier back and said, "Hey, fella, wanted to let you know that help is on the way." Well, the trouble is, when Gustave Panier's phone rang, the trolls heard it, and they looked up and spotted him in the tree. And woohoo! That meant there was more fun for the afternoon. And that's where I left you. And that's where I'm going to leave you again for a little bit, because we have to go back now to Apple Knoll and talk about Squeaky Toy. Well, when Dr. O'Toole Talltale and Margaret Maplethorne and the three boys got on the Tutty Troll Train and took off, they left Squeaky Toy sitting in front of Mr. Tutty's Grocery and Emporium, and Dr. O'Toole Talltale had handed him a book she just bought. She said, "Here you go, Squeaky Toy. If nothing else, this will keep you busy." And she gave him a copy of Masters of the Underground, Troll Economic and Social Life, or something like that, by Dr. Longstreet Bones, PhD. So, while Squeaky Toy sat there, and the day went on, the morning went on, and traffic went by, he slowly read through the book. Well, he read, but I wouldn't call it reading, because really what he did was he scanned each page or took a picture of it with his eyes, whatever you like, and then he scanned it into his database. So slowly, as he went through page by page, he was putting the book into his database, which meant he could go back and read it anytime he wanted, just like all of his robotic manuals that he had already loaded. So he was working through the book and he got through all the chapters, and then he got to the whole chapter on troll language. And he said, "Oh," and he thought, "I wonder if I could learn a language this way." So he started reading the troll words in the grammar and started memorizing all of the words and, of course, putting them in storage. And then he got to the end, and it was a sort of an appendix. It was at end of the book, and it was an appendix on troll mythology. Now, Squeaky Toy really didn't know what mythology was, but he thought, "This is interesting. Why is it at the end?" So he started to read it, and it was all about the beliefs that the trolls had coming from the mountains and coming from the old ones who used to live there. And they were all about the Sasquatch, the dreaded Sasquatch. And the trolls really, really, really didn't like the Sasquatch. And the stories were all about the king of the Sasquatch, Siako, and how the Sasquatch at night would send out eerie whistles and scare the old people, and it'd scare the trolls. And it was all about being scared and not wanting to go out at night unless you had a whole bunch of friends with you and maybe some torches. Well, Squeaky Toy was really interested in that. He was, "Well, what's that all about? I don't understand that." And then he heard a noise coming, and there he saw this big kid, young man, running along as fast as he could and going along, running down the street. Now, Squeaky had thought, "Well, hey, I just learned some troll. And this is where you go to see trolls. I wonder if people in this town speak troll." So he looked up and he saw Strong Bones running by, and he called out and said, "Hey, where are you going?" in troll. Well, that stopped Strong Bones, because after all, Strong Bones does speak troll. And he stopped, not because some little Japanese kid sitting in a chair in front of Mr. Tutty's Grocery and Emporium had asked him where was he going, but he'd used a very interesting term of words to say that, and that stopped him no end. I have to explain that. If you talk in troll and you say, "Where are you going?" Well, put it back. If you talk in English and you say, "Where are you going?" You're asking somebody, "Where are you trying to get to? What are you doing today? How's it going?" Right? But in troll, If you ask, where are you going? It really means, where are you going? Which means, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. I want to see what you have. Okay, that's troll language. And trolls can be aggressive, and they can be competitive, and they have certain ways of saying things that let you know that they're irked with you. Now, if you're a human and a troll says that to you, where are you going? That's danger. You really don't want to be there right at that moment. So I'd say always avoid a troll when a troll says that. So when Squeaky Toy, looking like a little Japanese boy, sat there and said in plain troll, where are you going? So I both thought to himself, huh? And he stopped. And he looked at the little boy and he said, what are you doing here? And Squeaky Toy said, well, I came with Dr. O'Toole Talltale and the Toy Shop Witch and my three friends, 3T and his two friends, and they went on the troll romp tour in the Tutty Troll Train, but I couldn't go because I was too short. And so I was told to sit here and wait till they came back. And Strongbones looked at Squeaky Toy, and he said, well, that's too bad. It would have been nice to see the troll romp. It's really fun. Well, I'm Strongbones. What's your name? Little Squeaky Toy said, I am Ayatsuri Ningyo. He left off the robot notice. It's a thing he's been doing. Ayatsuri Ningyo. And so Strongbones said, well, Mr. Ningyo, I am so glad to meet you. And Ayatsuri said, just Ayatsuri. Oh, well, have you ever seen a troll? And Squeaky Toy said, no. And Strongbones thought, well, would you like to see a troll? And Squeaky Toy said, yes, I would. So Strongbones said, well, wait right here. I'll be right back. So curious, Squeaky Toy sat there, and Strongbones raced off. He had no idea where he was going, but he sat there and waited till he came back. It was a command, after all. And he was a human, after all. Well, Strongbones ran around the corner to see his friend Tuggy. If you remember when Strongbones had to clean up Mr. Tutty's store all summer long instead of going hiking in the mountains because he had to pay for all the damage he did when Bigfoot had come, he had gotten to be really good friends with Mr. Tutty's son, Tuggy. And so he knew that Tuggy would let him have his dirt bike because he knew that where Gustav Panier was, GP by Glubb's Glacier, it was going to take him too long to take the road. He was going to have to take the back road. He needed a vehicle to do it, and Tuggy had it. So he talked to Tuggy and gave him a big hug and said, here, I got a tourist. He's got troll trouble. I got to get him out of there quick because he's in trouble. And Tuggy said, well, okay, you can use it, but you got to fill it with gas when you get back. And Strongbone said, okay, it's a deal. And he climbed onto the motorbike, and he put on his goggles, and he roared around the corner, and he got right in front of Squeaky Toy, and he stopped. And he looked at Squeaky Toy and said, okay, Mr. Ayatsuri-san, you climb on the back with me, and I'll show you some trolls. Squeaky Toy had heard an order. He jumped off the chair, carefully placed the book on the seat to show that he was sitting there, and he climbed on behind Strongbones. And Strongbones laughed, reached into the pouch in front of the handlebars and came out with a little set of goggles, and he put them on Squeaky Toy, little goggles. That'll help your eyes, he said, and boom, off they went. And the Squeaky Toy held on the best he could, and Strongbones just roared off, just the way Gustav Panier had. Oh, these young kids, they go so fast. He took off. Well, he went up the road a bit, and then he said, Squeaky Toy, I got Suri-san, hold on. And instead of going up the road, he went up the side of the mountain. Boom! And there he followed mountain paths. He followed them all the way up. He went up and down inside trees, over creeks. He wasn't going on any road. He was going on somewhere he knew where, and he was taking Ayatsuri with him. Well, you know where he was going. He was going to rescue Gustav Panier, who was up in the tree and was looking down at three trolls who were having a great time romping around the tree. And they were having a wonderful time. And there was this one troll, kind of big, sort of the bigger one, and he had all this spiky hair. And the spiky hair was all sort of green, had all green dye in it, and stuff squashed on top of it with his little minicam helmet. And he was dancing around like a total, he couldn't believe it. And The other two were dancing around. The middle one, who was dancing, was kind of skinny and tall, and he had this funny, funky hair that had was knotted. It was almost knotted up into braids that had little stones tied in it, and it was shaking around all over his head. Of course, that was Rocky, and he'd been listening to some music from way down where it's hot all the time, an island, someplace, at any rate, and it was a reggae kind of beat, and he got this idea, so he was bouncing around. And then the other girl, he couldn't believe it, was kind of fat, was kind of short, was very ugly, and he was bald, totally bald. Of course, that was Bernie, because he had burned his hair so much they just shaved it all off. And the three were romping and growling around and laughing and laughing and laughing. Gustav Pannier looked down and said, "You, go away, get out of here, shoo, go." Go! And they all started laughing. He said, "Okay, well, I'm going to take evidence." And he took up his pixelator, his little picopixelator with the telephoto lens, and he aimed it right at the trolls and started snapping their pictures. He got close-ups. He got close-ups of Grassy's hair with his silly little helmet cam on and dancing around and having a great time. And he took pictures. And then he got out his audio recorder and he said, "Hey, say something for the mic." And the trolls all started babbling and yelling and saying things at him. And he said, "Well, okay." And he put that away. And he took some more pictures and got tired of that, so he put that in his pocket. And they were still yelling. He was getting kind of, wasn't good. So he had an idea. He had his little critter whistle, his critter away whistle, that if he blew, he was told, would scare every single critter in a whole 100 yards and scare them away. Well, it was because it put out a high decibel sound that no animals liked, and so they'd get away from it. But humans couldn't hear it because it was outside their hearing. It was inside the hearing of the trolls, of course, but it wasn't going to hurt them because they were rather big. But anyway, Gustav Pannier decided he'd give this a blast or two and see if he'd get rid of these little rapscallions. So he stood there and he blew the whistle. Hear that? See? Now, you can't hear it, but the trolls did, and it was very irritating. It's like having a headache that won't go away very intensely. And it went... And they looked up at Gustav Pannier, and he just sat there and said, "Hey," and he blew the whistle again. Oh, and boy, did it drive them mad. They did not like that, so they retaliated. And you know how they retaliated? They retaliated by starting to throw things at Gustav Pannier. They threw sticks, they threw stones, whatever they could find. They picked up, started hurling pine cones, they started throwing them. So Gustav thought, I better get up a little higher. So he started climbing up a little higher. And then he got on a branch, and the trolls found that it was a long branch that went down on the ground, and they started pulling on it, and shaking it. And Gustav was like, I gotta get. So he clung to the center of the tree, and he held on, and finally got to a branch that was safe, and they couldn't see him. And he was just really, oh, what are they gonna do? And then out of the branches came this big, almost like a log, this big piece of wood. And he looked down, and it had torn a hole right in the branch, broken all these branches. And he looked down, and there in the meadow below were the trolls. And they looked up, and they grinned at him so missed. Oh, they were like, "Yes, we got you now." And then they started throwing stuff at him again. Oh, he was just so angry. He was so mad. He didn't know what to do. He was like, "I got to stop this. These guys. And he looked down and saw them dancing around. And then he saw this big troll kid with spiky green hair and his helmet minicam. It wasn't fair. And he took the one thing in his hand he could reach, and he remembered being a kid, when he was a kid at the beach, and he'd found a flat stone, and he'd learn how to flip it side hand so that it would stay flat and skip along the stones. And he thought to himself, "Oh, I wish I could get a threefer with this and hit them all." And he winged it sidearm. Well, he must have had a pretty good aim, because it zinged right at Grassy and hit Grassy right on the helmet. Kabong! And it hit the helmet so hard, it knocked it off. Well, Grassy turned around and looked up. He didn't like that. He didn't like that. He looked up, he was starting to get really angry. Well, Bernie at the moment saw the mini helmet cam and he said, "Oh, me like, me mine, I like." And he went over and grabbed it and put it on. Now, this is pretty typical troll behavior. If it's lying around and you don't have it like under lock and key in your control, it's theirs. So you put it on. And normally Grassy would have turned around and there would have been a squabble and a little competition. Grassy would have won because he was bigger and smarter than Bernie. But Bernie might get away with it if he took off right away. You see, it's how trolls live with each other. But Grassy wasn't paying attention. He was looking at Gustav Panier. Rocky was jumping around, trying to find rocks and throwing them. He was not very good aim, so he kept hitting the branches. But he hit a branch and hit pine cones. He was scattering branches all over Gustav, who was trying to dance around to avoid getting hit. And Bernie was just put the hat on, and he was like, he was it. He was the it troll, man. Look at this. He had this fancy, and he was dancing around and finding sticks to throw. He'd find little braid, break branches off, and hurl them up to see if you could get them up on top of Gustav Panier. And it was getting really kind of old. They were hooting and hollering. And then Grassy looked up and said, "Okay, I'm not playing anymore. I've had it. This human attacked me. He's got to go." And you know what he did? He pulled a knife out of his belt. Oh, dear. Now, I got to tell you, this was very serious because as a troll, if you're going to go out of Troll Mountain and have a weapon, a spear, a knife, a sword, an axe, even if you're cutting wood, an axe, right? You have to have a certificate from Mr. Grubbs' weapons office that they know you have the weapon, they know what you're going to do with it, and they know you will not try to use it indiscriminately in case you get angry. And so it is thoroughly, thoroughly forbidden for you to be out of the mountain without a weapon. Let alone being a teenager with a weapon. And by golly, if you ever tried to steal a knife out of the kitchens, the mammies would whack you left and right, black and blue, before you get out of there, because they are very possessive of their fine honed knives, because they cook. Now, Gustav Panier did not know this. He would have known this had he read very carefully the book by Longstreet Bones, PhD, Masters of the Underworld, etc. But he didn't. So he saw the knife and he went, "Oh no, what's going on?" Well, I'll tell you what's going on. This was not good. Because Grassy hacked off a branch and took off all the side branches and started to make a spear with it. Well, that's not good. No, that's not good. And he looked at it, he tested it, and then he threw it. Shoom! And it hit the branch right over Gustav Panier's head. Oh, but it splintered. And a splinter came along and hit Gustav right over the eye, and it cut him open. Well, if you get cut in the forehead and the head, there's so many blood vessels there, you really bleed a lot. It's very bloody. And so he got him right over the eye. Thank goodness he didn't hit him in the eye. This is his great fortune. But he started to bleed. And he had blood coming down. He started dripping on his arm. And he was like, "Ah, oh my God, you cut me. Ah." And Grassy was like, "Ah, ha, 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 ha." And he had the knife. He was going to start cutting another spear. Just at that moment, just then, Gustav Panier looked up through the rent in the branches, the holes that had been made by all the sticks. And he saw the most curious sight. Because there, out by his wrecked jeep, appeared a motorbike. And on the motorbike was this big kid, you know, with goggles on. And sitting behind him was that strange Japanese kid he'd seen back in town. What was he doing there? And they both looked at the scene. And the big guy stopped the bike. And they both climbed off. Well, the trolls were so busy, like, doing their thing, you know, getting mad and throwing stuff and trying to hack spears and all. They weren't paying attention. They were after a kill. They had their blood up. Back up at the top, Strong Bones and Squeaky Toy got out of the motorbike. And they looked at it, and they said, "What is going on?" Well, Strong Bones said, "Oh, I was thinking he probably ran into a troll, climbed a tree, the troll's yelling at him, I can take a troll, but I don't know if I can deal with three trolls." And by the way, not these trolls, because these trolls are the most like out of control teenager trolls you've ever, mischief makers you've ever seen. See that big one down there, the big one with the spiky hair that's all green and stuff like that? That's Grassy. He's a smart kid. He's very smart, but he doesn't want to have anybody tell him what to do, and he's going to do whatever he wants. He hasn't learned things yet. Well, he will, I know, but oh. And then the other two. Oh, that's Rocky. That's the guy with the dreadnoughts and the bones, the stones sticking out, maybe a bone or two in there, who knows? And then there's Bernie, who has his hair shaved off because he burned a lot of stuff, including his hair. And they are not the sharpest pencil in the pencil box, either of them. But they're smart enough to go with Grassy. They'll do what he says. And if I could just get those two away, I could deal with Grassy and we get that poor guy out of the tree. But I don't know what to do. Squeaky boy, Squeaky Toy looked at him. He said, He took off his goggles, handed them to Strong Bones, and he was away. Strong Bones said, "Hey, wait, where are you going? He disappeared. He disappeared into the grass, into the bushes, into the woods, and he was gone. Well, Strong Bones didn't know what to do. Wait, what? Well, Squeaky Toy, by the way, went into the woods, and he ran low, ran under the foliage in the trees, and he came up behind the big cedar tree that Gustav Honey was in. And the trolls were dancing around it and yelling and hollering up at him, but they weren't looking behind him in any other tree. And there were plenty of trees that were pretty close. So he climbed one next to it, climbed up a ways, found a good branch, and basically jumped across. Like one of Marvel Raptrax monkeys, if you will, but he was a robot. Anyway, he jumped across, got into GP's tree, he climbed around till he came to where Gustav Panya was. And all of a sudden, he appeared on the branch and said, "Oh, konnichiwa, GP-san, hi." And GP looked at him and said, oh my God, where did you come from? Where did you come from? Oh. Squeaky Toy was very polite. He just bowed and said, arigato gozaimasu. I'm here to see if I can help. The GP quieted down. Squeaky Toy said, "Can I look at your eye?" It was bleeding. He reached into a pocket of his overalls and he pulled out a little wipe. He wiped off the eye where it had been hit by the splinter, wiped it off, and then he gave that to GP and said, "Hold that there." And then he reached into another pocket of his overalls and he pulled out a big Band-Aid. He said, "Okay," and he put the Band-Aid on it. "Ah, there, that'll be better for you." And he took everything that was left over, the wrapping and stuff like that, and put it in a little other pocket he had. And he bowed, and he said, "Good, you're safe. We'll get you out of the tree." And he disappeared. GP said, What? He looked down. He looked over the trolls. Oh, here came another branch. Watch out. Oh, man. He didn't know what to think. Meanwhile, Squeaky Toy was down the other tree, down the bottom, ran along the grass, ran through the bushes, came back to the bike, right, and started to talk to Strong Bones. And Strong Bones said, "Well, where, I saw you up there. Where did you go? How did you get there?" And Squeaky Toy said, "Oh, I just ran low and climbed another tree and jumped over. It was okay. He's doing all right. I took care of his cut, and I have a plan." And Strong Bones said, "You do now. What kind of plan is that?" So Squeaky Toy said, "Well, we have to move those trolls, right? But I can't harm them. I can't harm humans, and they're human, and I can't harm them." Strongbow said, "Oh, I don't know about that being human." And Squeaky Toy said, "Well, not for me to judge. So I have an idea." He looked at Strongbow and said, "Have you ever heard of Sasquatch?" And Strong Bones just stood there and looked at this little Japanese kid and said, "What?" And little Squeaky Toy said, "Sasquatch. Have you ever heard of Tsiako, the Sasquatch King?" And Strong Bones just said, Where did you learn that?" And Squeaky Toy said, "Oh, I was reading a book on it that I left back at the grocery store Masters of the Underground. Troll Society and Economy by Longstreet Bones, PhD. And Strong Bones looked at him and said, "You read that book?" And Squeaky Toy said, "Yes, I did, all the way to the end. And I found the last part of it very interesting about the Sasquatch. So Strongbone said, well, yes, I know about the Sasquatch a lot. What do you need to know? And Squeaky's voice said, well, when I read about the Sasquatch, it told me that the old ones here, the old people that lived here in the mountains before y'all have lived here, used to talk about the Sasquatch as very mysterious beings. And at night, they'd make very scary noises to scare people and to drive you places, and it would scare them. And that was, it was like, that kind of noise. And Strongbone said, yeah, well, that is one of the old stories. That is a old Puyallup story, I believe, and the Chehalis have the same story, and there's a variant in it with the Salish Indians. And when you get to the coast, it's different, but yes. Squeaky Toad looked at him and said, oh, okay, so here's my plan. And he leaned over and started to tell Strongbones his plan. Meanwhile, in the tree, G.P. had kept his sense of mind, and when he saw Squeaky Toy show back up with a motorbike, he pulled out his Pico Pixelator telephoto long-range camera, started taking pictures of them too, because he said, this is it. This is going to be part of my story. This is going to be great. And he was doing great. He was doing great. He was taking pictures left and right until a branch came roaring out of the air, knocked the camera out of his hands, down to the ground. Where it broke. And that was it. And that was a fix that GP was in. And this is a plan that Strongbones and Squeaky Toy were cooking up. And here were the trolls, mad as ever, just out of their minds being trolls. And that is the end of today's chapter. You'll have to wait for tomorrow's chapter. I don't even know the name of it. It's Squeaky Toy to the Rescue. But I think it's going to be Glubb's Laws. All right, you think about this a little bit. Glubb's Laws, I'll give you a hint, has to do with the laws promulgated by Mr. Glubb, who is the troll king at the moment. And they are, of course, at the back end of Glubb's Glacier. And so there is Glubb's Law. And Glubb's Law, one part of it, rules mischievous young teenagers who carry weapons out of Troll Mountain, such as knives, or who make weapons outside of Troll Mountain, i.e. spears. So that's next story. I tell you to have a good night. Hug your little sister. Hug your mama, Donna. Hope you have a great sleep, William. And I will tell you the next one as soon as I can.